Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Reedy. You've got mail.
It's time.
You have mail.
For Reedy's mail.
Well done, Reedy.
What do you got for us, Reedy?
Yeah, listen, Gary, obviously we're still waiting to hear on the Latrell Mitchell, what happens with him, but on Friday night, Jesse Bromwich was involved in a tackle with Greg Inglis. A lot of people were up in arms about this tackle. A lot of people thought he should have been charged with a chicken wing. He wasn't charged in the end. They'll check with the match review committee why he wasn't charged. And it's basically the Greg Inglis, they're saying Greg Inglis came in with his arm extended. Jesse Bromwich has grabbed his arm, but the movement of the arm was actually Greg Inglis who initiated it when he fell to the ground. And they're saying Jesse Bromwich didn't deliberately try to move his arm in an unnatural position. And as soon as he felt it going into an unnatural position, they said Jesse Bromwich let the arm go. So in their view, he showed the necessary level of care Greg Inglis by letting his arm go and things were going pear-shaped. And that's why he wasn't charged on Friday night. So a lot of people saying that was a disgraceful decision, that he should have been suspended. That's the rationale behind why he wasn't suspended or charged over that incident, Jesse Bromwich.
Comfortable, boys?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. We want to be careful, though. We don't want to get into a stage where we're accepting early chicken wings and, oh, we let it go in time.
Yeah. Mm. What about Latrell Mitchell, Reedy?
Well, it's an interesting one. I'd be stunned if he isn't charged today, having made some calls this morning. And absolutely
he
stunned
has to
me.
Be. If yeah, they has charge to be. Will Chambers, they have to be consistent. And Will Chambers got 3 weeks. And this was my argument before when we were doing. So
it wasn't as bad as Will Chambers.
No. But they both left their feet. So they left their feet to drive down, right? So, Gertz, when you played and I played, you know when, like, they stopped tackling?
Yep.
When you couldn't lift because we'd lose control of the tackle. Mm-hmm. And if someone comes and you go fly out to hit them and they step, you lose control of your target, I suppose. So you can hit them high or smack them in the mouth. And then that's not good from our point of view. So we had to slow down, you know, get up. Now they're all in control of their tackle.
Okay.
So the big thing is getting them there. And when they drop off their feet, are they trying to hurt them?
You need to be accountable, yeah.
Yeah.
We should find out in the next hour or so, I'd say.
What's interesting about that for me, Dan, is he'll get a very base level charge, grade one charge, but regardless of whether he cops an early guilty plea or whether he fights a charge and loses, he'll get 1 week.
Yeah.
So I'd be stunned if the Roosters don't actually fight for charge and try and get him off, because there's no benefit to the game by actually taking the early guilty plea. He misses the game anyway. So I'd be stunned if when he gets charged, the Roosters don't tomorrow enter a not guilty plea and fight the charge.
So how did Chambers get 3 weeks?
Well, he had loading, Gordy. It was a more significant charge. It was a higher grading. But Will Chambers had loading as well from previous offences. I mean, Latrell's loading, he's carrying 70 carryovers from that cannonball a couple of weeks ago, and that's all he's got. But Will Chambers obviously had some issues over the year, including a pretty significant grapple tackle.
So he's carrying 75.
I think he loses 5 each week, so he'd have 70 now.
Take out the finals. That tackle's got to be taken out of our game. So put our foot down now. So they're happy to do it to Will Chambers because he plays at a club that has won grand finals, but because it's the Roosters and the Glamour Boys, if that was Will Chambers and if that was the Melbourne Storm, everybody would be screaming over it.
Well, they would be, but that was a worse tackle too, Gordy. I think the Will Chambers
it's exactly
one was a
worse the same,
tackle.
Mate. They both dropped to their feet. And you know what? Technically, I reckon Latrell Mitchell had his head choked in better than what Chambers did.
But you are right, Gordy, when you say that if it was a Melbourne Storm player, everyone would be up
absolutely.
And up. They would be. I mean, it's a bit like the reaction of the Jesse Bromwich tackle on Friday night. I mean, there was people on radio yesterday I heard saying the tackle was disgraceful and he should have been suspended. And, you know, if that was anyone other than a Melbourne player, I'm sure the furor wouldn't have been as bad.
Yeah, but that's because they got history, Reedy. Yeah. They were the chicken wing kings.
I agree with that, Dan.
They gave us the chicken wing.
Well, they did. You're right.
Anyway, anything else before we go?
Yeah, listen, I actually spoke to Shane Flanagan this afternoon and asked him about James Maloney. And interestingly enough, he said this. He misses plenty of tackles. So I think James Maloney can expect plenty of traffic on Wednesday game, Friday or Saturday night. And Flano sort of set the scene for that by pointing out that Jimmy's got some defensive deficiencies and they'll be working him over. So the other interesting aspect of that game is Wade Graham, obviously, with the ACL today. He'll miss the rest of the season, obviously. I spoke to Flano about whether he plays Kurt Capel or Scott Sorensen there. Now, Capel, if you remember, missed the game last night because he had a ruptured testicle. He underwent surgery during the week. And Flano basically said it would depend on how Kurt Capel recovers this week from that
ruptured
testicle.
There's no recovery. Really, I'm surprised you even come out with that. There's no recovery. Yeah.
Well, apparently, you can only miss one game with it. I don't know how, but apparently.
One season, one month?
Flano said there'd be a bit of ice involved, maybe a bit of shrinkage. He's hopefully capable of being back.
If there was a camera in here, you would have seen the three people on air and the two people off air. When you uttered the word ruptured testicle, all five leant forward.
It happens, Dan. You remember Peter Wallace got one in Origin a few years ago?
Oh, yes. Yep. Oh, dear. All right. Yeah. Very detailed, Reedy. Very well done.
No worries, boys.
All right.
Welcome, Brent Reed.
Hello, gents.
Before we get to you, Reedy, because there's some people listening to us right now who are interested in the women's NRL going on right now. 10 minutes into the second half, the Broncos have just gone in again, thanks to Meg Ward. This star-studded Broncos outfit are winning 14-10 over the Roosters.
They look like they're going to be hard to beat.
Very hard to beat.
Very stiff stuff. What am I trying to say? Tough to beat. I combine stiff and tough into a word there, Reedy.
Yes.
Now, Brent Reed, if we weren't sure whether you're a journalist or an ex-player, you've walked into the box with a graph.
Graph, yes. There's been a lot of negativity around the game lately, as we all know. And it's interesting, this week the NRL actually sat a couple of us down and took us through some stats that show that player behaviour this year is better than it has been in the past 5 years. Now, obviously, this has been overtaken because of what's happened at South Sydney in the last couple of days. But, you know, basically in the past 5 years... You know, it's down almost, well, it's down from 56 offences in 2014 to 17 this year, not including the South issue at the moment. So, you know, obviously at the moment a lot of doom and gloom about player behaviour because of what's happened the past couple of weeks. But the NRL, from a purely statistical point of view, is winning the war. The players are better behaved right now than they have been
probably
in the history of the game. So, I mean, obviously we had a lot of talk about what's happened the past couple of weeks.
Do you think that's why there's such a... quite a microscope on things that happen these days, because we're not seeing as many of them. When something does happen that's untoward, it's jumped on.
It becomes a bigger issue, yes. Almost, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right, MG. I mean, that's probably right. There hasn't been a lot this year, really, has there? I mean, the whole start of the year was about the referees, wasn't it? It was nothing about
the penalties. And exactly.
And now we've had a couple of player incidents and they've become a big deal. And you're probably right. It's because, to a large extent, we haven't had a lot this year in that department. So when it happens, we're a bit horrified and we throw our hands in the air. But, look, there's no doubt the NRL players are better behaved today than they have been, you know, and when you consider everything there is out there at the moment with social media.
Rudy, you consider the fishbowl they live in.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's, you know, Josh Dugan said it the other day in the press conference that, you know, and love or hate Josh Dugan as a player, but you've got to feel empathy for what he did the other day.
Yeah.
It was heartfelt. And I applaud him for doing it. I think, you know, that the players are human beings, and if they stuff up, the club will punish them as well as and the media will. And the fact that that's so low, I think it'll astonish most people who are listening.
Yeah.
It'll definitely surprise that number, just 17 incidents this season. Reedy, walk us through this South story that broke this morning.
Well, I mean, obviously, it's not a very good situation. It's pretty unsavoury if the facts are... you know, stand up and the allegations stand up. Look, there's lots of clubs watching this really closely. I mean, Canterbury got fined $250,000 last week for an incident that took place in a private setting where they were photographed and didn't know they were being photographed. So, you know, that was $250,000. The Roosters, if you remember a few years ago, Mitchell Pearce got 8 weeks and over $100,000 for, you know, a video of a simulating an act with a dog. Now, you could argue that this situation, if it turns out to be what is being reported, you could argue easily that this is worse. I mean, exposing yourself to a woman on social media. So, you know, Canterbury and the Sydney Roosters are watching this really closely, and obviously the Roosters play South potentially in a week. So,
is this a recent happening? Did this happen just...
No, it happened back in May.
In May.
And it's sort of been... my phone's going off.
That's
could
okay,
be the big
mate.
One. No, it happened back in May, and it's
that's
obviously
been...
That's
Nick.
and it hasn't... You know, it's obviously... South looked at it initially, couldn't get contact with the woman. She followed it up, but it was an anonymous email address, and because of that, it got it was basically spam, and it disappeared off the radar. So, You know, obviously now it's blown up again, and the NRL's looking at it, and South are looking at it, and they'll come to some sort of conclusion. And as I said, there's a couple of clubs watching it really closely.
How much? We saw Anthony Seibold speak this morning, and he basically said, I don't want to answer this. I want to talk about the football. If you guys want to ask about this, I'll end this. MG, how distracting will this be for South Sydney ahead of their game against the Dragons?
Well, depending on how severe it is, enormously. Enormous outside noise. It's one of the biggest games of the year, and all of a sudden you've got cameras at your training runs for different reasons other than watching your ball drills. It's a mind thing. It unsettles your nerve.
All right. Well, Reddy, let's leave that. Obviously, the investigation's still ongoing. We'll report on it when more news comes to hand. But let's talk about some player movement.
Yes, Big Nelson in particular.
Well, there's a couple of big ones in Melbourne, actually, MG. So next week, I expect Melbourne to make a couple of massive signing announcements. One of those guys is Big Nelson. As you said, I expect Cameron Smith to get announced next week. New one-year deal for him. No surprise there. He wanted to stay.
Yep.
And he was never going anywhere else. But Nelson's an interesting one because there were lots of clubs circling Big Nelson. He had a year to go on his deal. Parramatta have been linked with him and sorted other clubs. And it looks like he's committed to Melbourne for the foreseeable future. And the other one with Big Nelson is he's always talked about potentially being an All Black one day. Obviously, he's put that on the back burner as well. So next week, I reckon we'll hear at least Nelson, possibly Cam Smith, a couple of massive announcements for Melbourne leading into that big preliminary final.
Munster?
I think we'll have to wait to the end of the season with Munster. But, I expect him to stay, MG. I think he wants to. He's bought a house down there. He's got a girl down there now.
Yep.
He's pretty settled. The club will pay him what he's worth, which is $1 million a year. And I reckon they'll get it done. Look, I don't think his management or Cameron really want to come to Sydney. I don't think they think that would be a great environment for him. And, you know, when Craig re-signed down there, I think Melbourne were always confident that Cameron would stay because he sort of tied his future to Craig a little bit. So
it's a good lure, isn't it?
You keep those three blokes,
yeah.
You know, going in next year, they'll be a force again.
Couple more names without notice, Reedy. Val Holmes, where's he at?
Where's Val at? Look, he's obviously put talks off to the end of the year, and I think, you know, if you speak to people in North Queensland, they're convinced he's going to be there in 2020. They'll sign Barber for 1 year. They'll get a transfer fee done with or an agreement done with St Helens. Barber will come for a year. And then sometime after November 1, they'll stitch up Val Holmes on a long-term deal.
Corey Oates?
He wants to stay in Brisbane. His management has said they'll exhaust all options in Brisbane before he looks elsewhere. I expect he'll do probably a one-year deal in Brisbane and then potentially either Brisbane will clear some cash for years after or he'll look around.
And I imagine that clubs and managers and all the rest of it will be like people at Boxing Day sales ahead of the November 1 date for Nathan Cleary.
That's how it should be every year. But that'd be ideal, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It would be.
We should have like a window.
Yeah.
I reckon we should have a window from November.
November to February.
End of January or something.
Yeah, like that's...
Three-month window.
I mean, I told the story again last night. I got told... in late November of 1997, the Western Reds were folding, and within 3 weeks, I was at Penrith.
Yeah,
you know, with two young kids, and it's definitely doable.
That excuse doesn't wash anymore, does it?
But no.
If you look in the NFL, blokes move.
Yep.
They move
weekly.
From club to club in a week.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
All right. So Nathan Cleary, just quickly.
Sorry. Yeah.
Well, I said a while ago I thought he was going to go to the Tigers. That doesn't look so good at the moment. I think he'll probably stay at Penrith by the sounds of it.
Does Ivan answer your calls anymore?
No, I haven't tried him lately.
What about if Maloney wins the comp with Penrith? Do you think he might go to the Titans?
Well, I don't know, MG. That's a good question. You know, they're obviously keen on him. And the way the Peachy situation's developing, I'd be really surprised if Tyrone Peachy's there next year. Just because I just think the way it's evolved the last couple of days, I can't imagine Tyrone's overly happy with what's happened up there and the comments that have been made. I know they haven't been directed to him. They've been directed to his management. But, you know, the two almost go hand in glove. So, but the Titans, if they let him go, they won't let him go for free. They want something in return, either money or players. So there's a bit of water to go under the bridge.
Watch his face.
Nice work, Reedy.
Reedy. You've got mail.
It's time.
You have mail.
For Reedy's mail.
Well done, Reedy.
Look, Ben Barber, Dan. Obviously, we're all waiting for Ben Barber, a decision on Ben Barber and what he's going to do. I mean, we all know he's going to North Queensland on a one-year deal. Now, the reason for the hold-up is this. They've got to pay a transfer fee to St Helens to extract him from his contract over there. That transfer fee basically can't be paid till November 1. Now, you can't register a contract until the transfer fee is paid. So that's the hold-up. That's why we haven't heard anything yet. And the transfer fee will go through soon after November 1. Ben Barber's contract will then be signed and registered. And Ben Barber's also got to meet with the Integrity Unit. I confirmed this with the NRL. They need to speak to Ben Barber before they ratify his contract. that's a formality. It'll get done, and I'll expect an announcement on Ben Barber soon after November 1.
So if that's a formality, and he served his time, he did his 12 weeks over there, why do they have to meet him?
Well, I think they just want to make sure he's got the right things in place to, when he gets back, to make sure he stays on the straight and
narrow. What are they going to say? Are you going to do drugs? Yeah, no. Okay, yeah. You can play.
Yeah. Well, that's all right, Dan. Come on.
That is PR
Big Brother stuff.
Gobbledygook. That is gobbledygook.
I think Benny, you know, he's obviously learned his lesson. He's got four daughters now, and mate, I think, you know, his family's in and around that.
His form's flatlined a bit though, Dell, in the past month or so. Okay. Yeah, he's not playing as well as he was ever since I suppose it came out that he was coming home. It's dropped off a bit.
Have they agreed on the fee, the transfer fee?
I think they've finalised it, but I just don't think they can pay it until after November 1.
Those English clubs do like to charge.
They do.
What sort of figure do you reckon?
I'd be stabbing in the dark, Del.
Stab for me.
A couple of $100,000, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he had 2 years left on his deal.
He did, yeah.
The West Tigers. Now, obviously, a lot's happened this week with Nathan Cleary and the Ivan Cleary situation. Well, nothing's happened with the Ivan Cleary situation. I reckon this is going to get really ugly. And I think there's people in hierarchy there aren't happy with the situation. I think it's going to come to a head. And I'd be stunned, absolutely stunned, based on what the people I've spoken to today, if Ivan Cleary is the coach of the West Tigers next year.
Oh, I agree. I said that Gerds and I were talking off air, and it's a situation that it's not manageable, really.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, you imagine, they've got players coming off contract at the end of this year. How do you negotiate with them? Because they're going to want to know where the coach is.
You two will deal with this tomorrow on Saturday, Triple M footy for midday. So you'll deal with it properly. But are you comfortable with Penrith signing a coach from 2021 on?
I don't like it, no. I don't think it's ethical business, no.
Neither do I. Yeah.
Because it is legal.
It's legal.
Apart from what they tried to do allegedly before, which was try and coerce him out of a contract. Yes. You can't do that. This is actually legal what they're doing.
Yeah, it is.
But they know what it's going to...
And of course it's a squeeze play.
It's untenable. Of course it's a squeeze play. And then what does that mean if he does stay? And then what does that mean for the next couple of years at Penrith? I mean, what if the whole thing backfired at some point? And what does that leave? And look, I think it puts Ivan's reputation on the line as well. Because don't forget, you know, he's come out recently and said that he's going to honour his agreement there at the Tigers. And I'm not sure what his relationship's like at the administrative level, but I know that he's asked the fans to get on board, he's asked the playing group, and they've put their faith in him, and he's come and he's done a pretty decent job, and he'll be letting a lot of people down, and I just think that, you know, it could define Ivan's career. But it's a big decision that he needs to make.
I don't think the fans want him there anymore.
Well, that's
I ran a poll this week, and I know it's a poll on social media, and had 1,000 people responded to it, right? Which is, a minuscule representation.
Yeah.
But more than half of those people said, get rid of him now. We don't want him here now.
I reckon he lost them those 5 days when the story broke.
No doubt.
And he didn't respond.
No doubt. And then when he did respond, he read a prepared statement and took no questions and then turned around after that at a press conference and said there's been misinformation.
We forget.
And didn't clarify.
This happened with the Warriors. They signed him a year in advance, 13 months in advance, and the Warriors, out of the goodness of their hearts, let him go. And he went to Penrith a year early.
Isn't he really tight on a personal level with Justin Pascoe?
Well, I think they were, but I don't think, from what I'm hearing, that relationship has been strained by this, and I don't think they're as tight as they once were. Nowhere near as tight as they once were.
All right. Do you think they'll see compensation, the Tigers?
Oh, I think they've got to, Dan. They've got to show some strength, and the way they show strength is by getting something in return for him, and that is some form of compensation. Look, Penrith got plenty of money. Surely they'll just pay it and move on.
But not just that, they've got to show their supporters. It's a bit like the Titans. At some stage, you've got to draw a line in the sand.
Yeah,
aren't they paying out Griffin, Penrith? I mean, at some point, don't they need to be accountable for the funds that they spend? I mean, I know it's a leagues club, and you know there's no private ownership there, so no one's really focused on the bickies. But from some of the business they've done over the last couple of years has just been atrocious.
Well, can you imagine if they commit to Seraldo while the Cleary stuff is being sorted? Yeah. They could be paying 3 first-grade coaches next year.
Didn't they pay Cleary to go as well a couple of years ago?
Yeah, they did. 100% they did.
And that's what I'll tell you what, that's one thing I think Tigers people are stunned by. That they gave this guy a job 18 months ago when he was unemployed because he'd been sacked by Penrith, and he dares to contemplate going back to that club. And I think that's one thing that's really alienated Tigers people.
And are they putting Nathan ahead of the club, the Panthers?
You would think so, wouldn't you?
I mean, they're moving mountains, aren't they? Mm. I mean, you know, they've been, you know, they're trying to set a culture there, and you know they're just some of the things that they're doing to keep one. And I think he's a great young player. Don't get me wrong. But is he shown the signs that he's going to be that good that you move mountains and you kind of and you change the whole sort of or the cultural stance of your club over, you know, a 20-year-old player?
Well, I don't disagree.
Yeah.
And of course, Cooper Cronk and whether he will play or won't play on Sunday is a big story. But for the other big story of the day, the punishment handed down to the Manly Seagulls, we bring in this man, Brent Reed from The Australian, an integral part of the Triple M NRL team. Good evening, Reedy.
Hello, gents.
What is going on at the Seagulls?
Well, no real surprises here. They obviously appealed that sanctions they copped over the salary cap irregularities from the past 5 years. It was a couple of months ago now, and they obviously appealed. That appeal has now come back, and it's basically backed up what the NRL found. They basically said there were 12 relevant player transactions involved in the allegations, and of those 12, there was only one they said could be considered, that there wasn't enough evidence to suggest that something untoward had happened. So it was 11 of the 12 that the NRL relied on. The appeals tribunal backed the NRL on that. So it's come back pretty heavily against Manly. Look, it's cost them a lot of money. They've been fined $750,000. I was talking to someone today, and they said the legal cost of the appeal would cost them another couple of hundred grand as well. So
it's more going forward, really, with the salary cap they're missing out on as far as going. So obviously they're going to have to unload one of their big guns.
Well, I reckon they budgeted next year, MG, to not have that money at the moment. So I think it's $330,000. It's interesting because we bumped into Marty Tapau today, actually. And Marty's one of the guys who keeps getting bandied about as one of the guys who might have to make way. And Marty insists he still hasn't heard anything. He's got 2 years left on his deal. And every indication he's getting is he'll see out those 2 years. But, you know, they're going to be $330,000 under the cap next year, $330,000 of the cap they can't use. And that basically equates to a pretty good player. So, you know, whoever comes into that coaching job, and we still, look, it's funny, Trent Barrett was at the Dally M's last night. So for all intents and purposes, Trent Barrett is still a coach of that team, but I think we all know he's not going to be there. He's going about doing what he has to do, but whatever coach comes in, he's probably going to be one decent player short because of what's happened.
Reedy, that just seems madness that they haven't sorted that coaching situation, because surely if they're looking to recruit players or sign players on, a player is going to want to know who's in charge.
It's insanity. It's insanity, Liam. I mean, it's just madness. I don't know how you can... Like, Trent's obviously still going to work because he has to get paid, but, you know, as I said, he was at the Dally M's last night, and I'm not sure he looked overly comfortable, to be honest. I went in a quick chat to him for a couple of minutes, and you know, I wouldn't say he was dancing around on tabletops. He didn't look the happiest bloke in the world to be there, to be honest. So, you know, it's a really difficult position. It's a sad position they're in because they just need to sort it out. And it just seems as though they're in no rush to do it. It's ridiculous.
MG, would you sign at the club if you didn't know who was going to coach there next year?
Not on your sweet Nelly knife.
Unless the money was really, really good.
No, it's got to be. Look, things are going to change. It's a shame. Sometimes when you roll the dice, snake's eyes don't come up.
Well, you've got to wonder now if a coach...
Wait, Brett Stewart's coming back? I'm confused.
Yeah, snake's coming back.
You've got to wonder whether a coach... You know, a coach is going to be wary about going there, given they've obviously lost this appeal and they're going to be 300... Look, someone will take it.
Yeah, of course they will.
John Carver's already said he'll take it. You know, Michael Maguire's obviously considering it, but I know Madge's preference is to go to Brisbane if possible, or Penrith, but, you know, if he can't get either of them, then maybe Manly's a goer. He might even hold out and see what happens at the West Tigers. But, you know, at the moment, it just seemed bizarre last night, you know, to walk up to the Manly table. There's Jake Trbojevic, Daly Cherry Evans, Joel Thompson, Marty Tapau, and Trent Barrett still sitting there opposite Lyle Gorman. I mean, it's just insanity.
Weekend at Bernie style.
It's just crazy.
Look, there wouldn't be a grand final week without a bit of drama. And obviously, we've had that in the form of Billy Slater's judiciary hearing. Now we've got. Cronk watch or shoulder watch. I've got a bit of a theory on Cooper Cronk.
Ooh.
I'd be surprised if Cronk didn't play. Mm. I hope he plays. The way they were contorting his arm at halftime on the weekend, if it was major damage, the doctors know a lot more than I know about rotator cuffs and shoulder injuries. They would not be contorting his arm the way they were if there was major structural damage to it. I think it's the closer we get to the grand final, the more I think that Cooper Cronk's going to play.
And MG, I think Melbourne agree with you. They're convinced Cooper Cronk is going to play in this game. You know, I think there's a bit of foxing going on here. To be honest, I reckon Cooper's probably a lot better than it's probably been intimated so far. I'm starting to get the feeling you'll play in this game as well. And as I said, Melbourne are absolutely convinced that Cooper Cronk will play in this game.
All right, Reddy, fantastic work. You went to the Daily M's last night. Who was best on?
Him.
Yeah. Very quiet, MG. I had a very quiet
Good boy.
Night.
Good boy.
Yeah. Wait, I now, had about 1,000 beers, so it was okay.
You didn't have an awkward confrontation with Ivan Cleary, did you?
I shook hands with Ivan.
Oh. Yeah.
I wouldn't say it was the warmest of handshakes, but I did shake hands with him.
Ivan's a warm man, mate.
Yeah. All right, Brent Reid from the...
He'd be a lot warmer out of Penrith. It gets pretty warm out of Penrith.
Oh. Right, off you go, mate. See you
Brent
later.
Brent Reid from the Australian. See you Sunday. Thank you, Reedy.
See you, boys.
NRL Grand Final 2018. We are at ANZ Stadium. Ryan Girdle, Wendell Saylor, Tony Squires, and Brent Reid joins us.
G'day, Reedy. Hello, boys. Great to be here.
Nice suit. What's your plans for this evening? You got a few functions on. What's going on?
Apparently, there's a game of footy on.
Really? Okay.
Might have to do my real job. Yeah, apparently.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, there's plenty of intrigue about what is happening inside that stadium this evening, certainly with personnel. It's time for this.
Reedy. You've got mail.
It's time.
You have mail.
For Reedy's mail.
Well done, Reedy.
What do you got? You give us something special. Well, it's grand final time, baby.
Well, Cooper's been the man of the week, hasn't he?
Yep. Yes.
And it's been all the talk about Cooper, whether he plays on it. Now, apparently, the latest whisper is that he has been passed medically fit to play. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean he will play.
Wow.
It just means he's got the rubber stamp basically from the medical department.
Of course that and means then he'll comes, play, Reedy.
Well, it then comes down to whether he can handle the pain and the coaching staff think he can handle the pain. So that's what it comes down to. But it sounds like he is playing. It sounds
really?
Because I think I've said this, the last 10, 15 years, he's probably the most professional player that I've seen on and off the field. I mean, we're going to Origin doing some stuff, and just straight after the game, and then, you know, if he's had an injury through the morning and that, and he's kale and all this sort of stuff. He's just...
Kale?
Yeah.
Kale. See, right.
It's okay. Perfect.
See, the pain thing, Reedy's... Mm. The pain thing's interesting because you can needle pain. It's more about, like, you know, full range of movement and strength and those sorts of things that... You can't get any assistance. So if it's just a pain issue, well, you would imagine it's going to be okay. But I'm thinking with a rotator cuff, it's more about movement. It's about the passing action. And then, obviously, there's going to be contact.
Big Nelson. Yeah. Imagine Big Nelson coming at you. And, you know, when he's got the ball, the Bunnies did it to him last week. They just kept hitting him, you know.
But you're saying he's playing. He's in.
No, I didn't say that, Gertz.
He's passed
fit. It'll ultimately come down to whether... He and the coaching staff.
He's been
think
past fit.
He can play. Yep. He's medically.
That's massive. That's the biggest Reedy's mail we've had all year on the biggest stage. Reedy, congratulations,
yeah. Reedy.
You heard it here first.
No pressure. If he doesn't play.
Yeah, it's award.
Number 23.
That is award.
I'll tell you what I found interesting this week. I sat down with Craig Bellamy this week, and he talked about how tough Cooper Cronk was. And I don't think you assume. You know, we all know how skillful he is and how smart he is, but we don't often talk about how tough he is. He said he's one of the toughest footballers he's ever coached. He was glowing in his praise of how tough Cooper Cronk is. He talked about before he's played with rib cartilage problems, could barely walk, could barely get changed, turned up on the weekend, played, did that for about a month. Cam Smith talked about he broke his arm. He came back 4 weeks ahead of schedule from that.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, if it's a pain matter, given his history, you'd suggest that won't be a problem.
So just talk me through it, because he was going to originally the captain's run. There was talk about, you know, Dylan Knapp, big bodies running at him, having to get through all of that. He didn't do anything at the captain's run. Then there was something in North Sydney.
That snippet that he was with the physio, Travis Toomer. I think they said the physio, which is Travis Toomer, which isn't quite Nelson to say for Solomon. He's a pretty fit guy, Travis Toomer. But I said to Del before, one thing about the Roosters this week, they've only, I think, done one skills session, ball session. And I said to Del, if he wasn't playing, surely we'd need to do more sessions than that, because you'd have to get the other players who are playing in his spot used to footy. You said that's not the case, Del. They could get by on one session?
Yeah, one session with a player of his pedigree, and also the players know what to expect, you know, when he's in there. So that's not going to be an issue for him.
We saw in the AFL Grand Final yesterday, momentum swings, how West important Coast. They are. Collingwood was five goals up, and they hung on West Coast and then came back. When you're looking at those sorts of things, if Cooper's not there, who can be the player when momentum is shifting, whether you resist it coming against you or when you ride it when it's for you? Who does that job?
Well, it has to be Luke Keary, doesn't it? I mean, the hot mail going around Friday that was if Cooper didn't play, Victor Radley would play 5'8", and Luke Keary would play halfback. That was the mail on Friday. Now, if that's the case, well, Luke Keary has to be the man, does he not?
Yeah.
It changes the way that Luke plays, though, doesn't it? I mean, and that's why he's been so effective this year, especially playing next to Cooper, and they complement each other. So, yeah, it's going to take away a little bit from his game, whereas I think he's been able to play eyes-up footy, and he knows that Cooper's going to get him into the right position on the field and generally get their kicks away, and he's there if Cooper gets caught in a late play, he can sort of file in. But other than that, he's looking for opportunity. So, all that, and you know what, they've had a little bit of they've had some trouble of late scoring points, haven't they, the Roosters? I mean, we know they're a great defensive side, but coming up with ways to penetrate the opposition hasn't really been their best part of their game over the last six or so weeks. So I think if you take that away from Luke Keary, and he's the guy that on the back of momentum, on the back of, you know, ruck speed, he'll get the ball and go, and he'll create something, especially on that left side now with Mitchell back and Tedesco through the middle. If he's not able there to do that, gee, it takes a lot away from their game. But then you're going to need someone to help him with the general play kicking to beat the Melbourne Storm. You know, Friendly
will help out a little bit, won't he?
Well, you need to. Well, yeah, but he hasn't got a really big kick. Yeah. And you need someone that, you know, you got to tick all the boxes. You got to do everything well. And part of that's obviously your general play kicking. So although he did the majority of the kicking last week when Cooper went down, his long kicking game isn't anywhere near where Cooper's is. So I don't know. I was surprised they actually didn't bring Sean O'Sullivan into the game, given the fact that he is a genuine game manager and a good kicker of the football. So I guess they've got to roll the dice.
It's a big occasion, but hey, for a young bloke, if he was to play.
But he's playing anyway, so what are we talking about?
Exactly, yeah. What are we talking about? You're
there's
right.
No concerns.
Hey, boys, can I ask you, so also the Dally M captain of the year, I thought, I love Cam Smith, you know,
yeah.
But I thought Boyd Cordner was hard done by there. Mate, minor premiers, New South Wales he captain this year. What
he shares a role, though, doesn't he, with Jake Friend? They share the role.
I think where Cameron Smith was so good was the fact that he didn't play Origin this year, and then during that time,
five or six
I remember
games.
The game where, you know, they played against the Dragons down there, and, yeah. I mean, he was so influential during that time of the season that I think that just probably earned him the
He's
role.
He's a really interesting story, Cam Smith, coming into this game, because obviously that press conference after the game on Friday night, he spoke about retirement, right? We all thought it was to take the heat off Billy Slater, but there's been, again, some whispers this week that he is genuinely contemplating retiring. I know it's amazing to think, because the Storm think he's got maybe 2 years left in him, but the word is, and the word today even, is that he is genuinely thinking about giving it away this game.
I'd be very surprised. I reckon he'll get to the 400
games. There was a lot of reasons why, apparently, and we've heard all different scenarios as to why he didn't play for Queensland again this year, but one of the ones that I heard was the fact that, you know, there was going to be no Cooper, there was going to be no JT, and he felt like there was going to be a hell of a lot of responsibility on his shoulders in which he wasn't able to share. Now, given the fact that Melbourne next year, they go in without, obviously Cooper's gone, and now that Billy's going to be gone, maybe he feels that too much of that load, bringing all those young guys through, as talented as they are, it might be, you know, too much for him to handle.
Is the word that you're hearing, though, as in that press conference, he was asked about whether if they won, and maybe he's standing on that stage, maybe he gets his first Clive Churchill medal, who knows what's going to happen in the next few hours, but if that was the scenario, we talked about it yesterday, it's a very difficult situation for him not to think, does it get better than this?
Well, that's the one thing he's not won, the Clive Churchill medal, his entire career. It's amazing. He ticked that box. You know, it's a great way to go out. And look, he won't.
How many shots does he want? I mean, it's his seventh grand final.
No disrespect to Billy, but last year, Cam Smith, I thought, mate, he was head and shoulders above anyone, but, you know, Billy.
Well, when Billy got cleared the judiciary, I think people thought he'd win the Brownlow as well, Billy.
Oh, really?
You're red-eyed, mate. Come on, mate.
You've covered a few judiciaries. Did you enjoy that circus? I love the private jet arriving, landing on Driver Avenue. It was terrific.
It was a great week. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of talk about how it's been all about Billy and Cooper, but it was those first few days. It was really interesting covering it, because I was down in Melbourne, sort of almost around the team a lot, especially the officials and the things they go through to get that result, and then what Billy went through. I mean, the things I didn't know about Billy, you know, Billy could have basically run that case himself. The amount of work Billy put into it, it shows you why he's such a good player and why he's done so much in his career.
All right, just before we take a quick break, just repeat from Reedy's mail. Obviously, you'll get the word incorrect because Gerge is just going to say Cooper Cronk is playing. Yes. What is the latest?
Now, apparently he's been passed medically fit to play. So basically the medical staff, by the sounds of it, has said, Cooper, you're right to go. Now, then it comes down to obviously Cooper, the coach. I think Cooper said he wanted to talk to his teammates about it. So it comes down to whether they decide. They'll obviously sit down in the room and say, do we go?
especially like that
that's
first,
big, Reedy.
Yeah,
it's huge.
That first 5-10 minutes, it's like no other. And
that's Walkley award winning, I think.
I had the test team for you too, but now what's the use?
Can I ask?
Yeah, you got the test team.
Who gave you the mail? Can I ask?
No.
Okay.
You can't ask him to reveal his sources, never. Wendell.
Come on, Wendell.
He can whisper it to you. Have you got the test team ready?
A lot of it, yeah.
Well, let's have a go.
Okay, so GI is going to be the captain.
Yeah,
okay.
So he should be.
Yep.
Daly Cherubins will be the halfback.
Wow.
Aaron Woods will be back. Tyrone Peach will be the utility on the bench.
Tyrone Peachy.
Yes, perfect. Tyrone Peach will be the utility on the bench. Damien Cook will be the hooker. Yep.
Okay.
And the rest of the side basically picks itself.
Okay.
So Latrell and GI in the
Latrell
centers.
And GI.
Yeah, beautiful. Wow.
Tommy
Tedesco at the back.
Teddy at the back. Val Holmes at one wing.
Dane Gagai, no?
No. Well, it depends how Josh Addo-Carr goes tonight. If he has a big game, he may get his way in there. But
what's the bench? Does Aaron Woods get a run on the bench? Woodsy's there.
Mal loves him.
Woodsy's there.
Regan Campbell-Gillard.
Beautiful.
Clemmer.
Clemmer's there.
Yep.
Who else?
Frizzell.
Cafusi.
Cordner.
Frizzell. Cordner. Josh Maguire.
So it's a pretty much New South Wales-dominated pack, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Sounds about right.
Too good.
He did win the series this year, if you don't remember.
No. We remember, Del.
He hasn't forgotten.
Just bringing it up.
That's why Reed is the best in the business. There is his mail. He'll be with us. Stick around. This is Triple M. Rocking the NRL Grand Final.